B2, number 6B.
It is really mine. So, I have, oh, naturally, this is the seventh with mind. So, what has been mind as a concept has now become mind as a spiritual understanding. And instead of having, say, 100 ideas of mind, which I recapitulate, and see what they annihilate as illusions, I have just one super simple mind. These 100 just become one term, mind. And so with the other term. So that finally, we really can speak about mind, and I mean a whole universe of ideas of mind. It's not just any more a term. It's a whole universe of ideas. And so is spirit, and so is soul. And with these seven tones of the synonymous term, I have the whole of being, God. So, here at the end, you see, you get now the combination of what we may call the letter and the spirit. Here you find your exercises by going over the ideas of mind and thinking what they mean, how they link together, why they need each other, why intelligence needs law, why law is intelligent, and in order to be intelligent, it needs power, because law without power is no law. And so law and intelligence needs power. Can you see? Well, if it's power and it's law, then it certainly begins to lead and to guide. So we have mind as leading, guiding, inspiring. And so, little by little, these ideas link together, then they become just one tone, mind. And then we have found, really, our new constituents of consciousness, the divine constituents of consciousness. And then we have found, really, the divine system of reference. Before we had thinking, you see, and everything we were experienced in being were according to our thinking, according to our human thinking. Everything is valued in our life according to our mentality, how we value an experience, good or bad, right and wrong, and so on. And all this is now, through this analysis, resolved to the point where we have found a completely new system of reference, the synonymous term. Because we have nothing else in our consciousness, we cannot value anything anymore in any other standard than in the standard of the seven synonymous terms. And this is the change of consciousness, complete resolving of consciousness through a scientific method, not through religion, not through telling you shouldn't think this way, you should think that way. This is a cultured process of culturing consciousness into a completely new structure of consciousness. Yes. Naturally, you can see that when we come to this point, you see that we have found the real tone of the synonymous term, and that when we hear or say mind or think mind, that we mean all this, then you come to those very rare statements in the textbook where Mrs. Eddy just combines synonymous terms without ideas, where she just combines one synonymous term with another synonymous term, where, for instance, she would say mind is the soul of all. Can you imagine what that means? That mind is the soul of all. Mind is now defined through soul, one synonym through the other. No more one synonym through ideas. You see, that mind is the intelligence of the universe, or that mind leads all mankind to truth. Here now, mind is just combined with another synonymous term. Mind is the soul of all. For somebody who does not know what is mind and what is soul means nothing. Just nothing. And I don't know if you have read that statement over and over and wondered what it means. I have done that many, many years, and I've wondered, what does she mean? Until I began to learn the synonymous term. Then we begin to see that actually we could find an absolutely new language, the language of the synonymous term, where we just could say, well, mind is principle. And it means a whole lot. It means that the one divine mind is the principle of governing the whole universe, governing my body, governing the United States, and governing Vietnam, and governing politics, and governing Moscow, and governing my business, and governing that. Mind is principle. And it's something completely different if I say principle is mind. Can you see where all this leads to? Leads to a completely new language. The language of the capitalized terms. That's why Mrs. Eddy has felt that these important terms should be capitalized, because they all refer to the one God. And therefore, the amount of information we have in consciousness when we are only speaking in terms of the synonymous term is enormous. Can you see what enormous new language is opened up? I will just speak in terms of synonymous terms instead of ideas. And you see that when we have that consciousness, because each synonymous term refers to the one God, we always speak from the whole. And we are always in the consciousness of the whole, and no more in the consciousness of isolated ideas. And so little by little, naturally, we will raise in consciousness, and less we'll speak about ideas and say, well, you know, intelligence is spiritual and it's absolutely sinless. Yes, that's true. But if I say mind is soul, I say 1,000 times more. And yet this very little thing is included in it. Because, as you remember, these are super symbols. The synonymous terms, you see, are super symbols for a lot of ideas. So if I say mind is soul, or mind is the soul of all, then I mean all ideas of mind, and I mean all ideas of spirit, of soul. And therefore, all the combination of the infinite ideas of mind with the infinite ideas of soul, all is included in those super symbols. Mind is the soul of all. And that's the new language. It's Mrs. Eddy really tries to show how she can raise the reader first out of mortal thinking into divine thinking, from divine thinking into ideas, from ideas into synonymous terms. And the more she rises it up, the simpler it becomes, and the more encompassing it becomes. See, that's the great mystery of the principle of redundancy, that you reduce without taking away of the magnitude. The principle of redundancy is that which multiplies on one side and reduces on the other side. It multiplies. I multiply when I come from ideas to mind, because mind is much bigger than each one of the synonyms, each one of the ideas. And yet, it simplifies because I have only one term. And on this principle, really, the computers are built. That they have the infinite informations, and they put them under categories and categories and categories and super symbol and higher symbols until everything is properly classified and therefore can be searched out at once. Yes, now, this is about freely about the synonymous terms. Is there any other question? Because I want to leave now this point. Is there any question which may not have been clear? And you, is it clear how we arrived at these conclusions? All right. Now, I think we have another 20 minutes or so left, and that gives me just right time to come back to another question which I touched already yesterday, and then this afternoon we will go further to a higher stage. You see, when I am speaking the way I did yesterday and today, naturally one feels always somehow the unspoken remark from the audience, well, what has that to do with my daily life? What has that to do with my problems I have? And I would like to shock you and say nothing at all. And that's just the point. That I give with this a new frame of reference in which everything is included, so that the whole gamut of error has no place in it, and therefore does not need to be dealt with. And yet I would, perhaps for 20 minutes, deal with it in a global way, just to make you sure within yourself that with this method of getting acquainted with the signs of being, you actually find a higher law of dealing with what you call your problems. See, I said yesterday the classical method of teaching is usually by saying what is God, and then what is man, and how great man is, and what a beautiful thing man is, and how perfect and how well he is, and how complete he is, and then teach bits about the body and how to heal the body and how to deal with various diseases and what is matter, and so on, and so on, and so on. The whole gamut of human misery is usually brought up, and then somehow one tries to show the fact about those lies. To a scientific thinker, this is not a scientific way to go out from evil or from error and try to plaster it up so that finally only truth and the good is there. A scientific method is always the method that goes out from perfection and rests with perfection. And by going out from perfection and resting with perfection and seeing nothing but perfection, consciousness just takes in only perfection. And that's the answer to all the misery of human life. So it's only a question of having the courage to let the old way of dealing with the human life go, and have the courage to take on that higher way of dealing with human life or not. So I haven't really said much or practically nothing about man. Perhaps I have not even mentioned the term man up to now. I have practically said nothing about body, about disease, about sense testimony, about mortal mind, and so on. How to gain perfect manhood, and so on. Why? Well, the reason is this, that if we take those fundamental constituents, say, of the classical teaching, namely God and man, and then matter with body and disease and so on, we have now substituted the term God by our synonymous terms. But we have not yet substituted man, or shown a better man, because there isn't a man. I think we just have to come to the point of seeing that there does not exist a man. That only God, who is a mythical and mythological concept, has also a mythological concept of its creation, namely man. But when we have, instead of God, our synonymous terms as the creator, then the outcome of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love is certainly nothing unlike mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love. And because mind, spirit, soul, life, truth and love have no man, and man is not a synonymous term for God, man doesn't exist. All that there exists in being is ideas of these synonymous terms. Golly, if we could really stomach that, we would be out of our troubles. We have that in heritage, right, from the chimpanzees, that somehow we are a bit better than the chimpanzees. But somehow we are mortal. Are we? We are. Man is a term, a name, but only a name, a mythical name, a mythological name, to symbolize, really, the ideas of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. I always say, where do we find an authority that we are men? I can't find an authority that we are men. The only authority we can find is the mortal. The mortal says, well, you are a man, aren't you? You are mortal. After all, you come from the old chimpanzees, and that's what you are. Are we that what the mortal tells us we are? See, again I come back to the same question. Are we going out from a false system of reference and try to improve that? Or are we going out from a new system of reference, from the synonymous terms? If you go out from the synonymous terms say, I don't know anything what you talk about man, I don't know him. I am mind and all what I know is mind. I know myself as mind. And spirit says, the only thing I know is myself as spirit. And soul says, the only thing I know is soul. And principle says, the only thing I know is principle. What are you talking about, man? It doesn't exist. You know, I was teaching this about 2 years ago, and I had actually a lot of fear to teach it for the first time, because I thought the students would just jump at me and say, now, Max has gone off the deep end, you see. Now he comes along and says, there is no man. But I must say, the students did take it rather well. That was 2 years ago. But you know, I wasn't the first one to say that in the world. Since then, I have read about 3 or 4 books by outstanding thinkers, outstanding professors, and they all say the same thing. They all question, are we men? Or they say, if we are men, what next with us? What comes after men? And it's so clear, it's so natural. Because, as we have seen in the days of creation, man is only the creation of the sixth day, not of the seventh day. The seventh day doesn't say anything about man. But we, in consciousness, can encompass the seventh day. Therefore, we are not men, we are something more than that. We are that which comes after man. Only the old mortal tells us that we are men, but we aren't. We aren't the glorified mortal. We are principle's own idea. And this is the great covenant which I would like to make in every class since about 2 or 3 years. I always make that covenant with the student and say, now, if we are honest to what the textbook says, namely that principle expresses itself in ideas, then Can we make that covenant and say, all right, from now on, we are no more going to acknowledge anything except that principle is going on as the infinite idea. Now, Mrs. Eddy is very clear about it, because she says that man is only a name. Now, a name isn't a thing, isn't an identity. You jolly well know that if I have the name Max, you don't know much about me. And the same thing could have been called Emil or Bill or I don't know what. See, the name doesn't mean a thing. The thing that there is principle and idea. That's the only reality there is. And the whole universe of matter, energy, atoms, bodies, people, is a false understanding of principle and idea. And so, why should we be so interested in man? I think we would make one of the greatest steps forward in our unfoldment if we would drop that interest in man and not try to demonstrate man. You can't demonstrate something which doesn't exist. All that there exists, Mrs. Eddy says, is principle and idea. Called in the religious language, called in the mythological language, God and man. And so it is most interesting to see how Mrs. Eddy tries to solve that proposition step by step. Because at the beginning of the textbook, she will always talk about God and man. God and man. And then little by little she will introduce principle and idea. God and man, principle and idea. Until finally she drops it and says, let's go on and see that everything is infinite principle and infinite idea. Actually, you can see that if Mrs. Eddy would have been so outspoken as I was for the last 5 minutes, 100 years ago in New England, you must know New England better than I do, in that traditional religious country, well, she wouldn't have had much chance for her teaching if she had said, man doesn't exist. Man is only a name. It doesn't exist. The traditionalists and the fundamentalists would have come and said, the Bible says so. The Bible says in the sixth day God created man. So man exists. But they naturally can't see the spiritual import in it and says, in his image and likeness. Therefore showing that man is a symbol, just as the light is a symbol in the first day and the firmament is a symbol in the second day, and the dry land is a symbol in the third day, so in the sixth day man is a symbol. For what? For God being conscious of himself. Let us make an image and a likeness after us. It's God's own consciousness of himself which is symbolized as man. Now,
well, you would have to disentangle a lot of these statements, you know, that are made in science and health.
Yes.
And even in the Bible, I mean, when Mrs. Eddy brings out the third there, the definition of man, where she says man is not made up of brain, blood, bone, and non-material elements.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you understand that there is no matter man, there could be a sense of confusion there.
Sure.
I mean, you have to get the definite stuff in your own consciousness.
Yes.
And knowing that there is no material man.
Yes. Well, that's just fine. That just brings me to the next point, you see. Namely, usually the teaching consists of handling all the belief of matter and body and so on. Why? Why not just do it away in one sentence and say the whole thing is mortal mind. Finished. And what is mortal mind? Mortal mind is divine mind, not understood. That's all. So, Mrs. Eddy would say, if we take the whole list of counterfeits which we had about mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love, she reduces that whole list of counterfeits to one denominator, mortal mind. She says, mortal mind and matter is one. Or mortal mind has a subjective state called matter. So mortal mind and matter is one. She says, mortal mind and body, the counterfeit of soul, is one. She says that mortal mind is the cause of all discord, the opposite of principle. Mortal mind and death is one, the opposite of life. Mortal mind and disease is one, the opposite of truth. Mortal mind and fear is one, the opposite of love. So why should we have 14 days together and try to knock over all the human misery and put up, instead of the human misery, something nice which we can adore and so on? Why not just make a clear cut and see whether the whole concept of mortal man, of body, of disease, of anything which is not of the nature of God, is mortal mind. And what is mortal mind? It isn't anything. It is mind, divine mind, misunderstood. That's all there is. Therefore, it brings us right back again to our synonymous terms. Can you see that? We gain, instead of, as I said before, instead of gaining a false system of reference, where we measure everything according to our mentality, to our concept, according to matter, according to the sense testimony, according to personal sense and so on, we have a new system of reference, which is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love, which has already resolved this whole thing that ideas resolve illusions in one go. Naturally, the textbook is full of arguing with the reader the whole question about body and about matter and about disease, because she had to write the textbook to her age, and her age believed in the reality of matter. But today this is a different thing. Today you know that every scientist, every physicist, everyone said the whole material universe, from the atom to the star, is nothing else but the construction of the human mind. Point. Full stop. Huh? Period, you say. Period. 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 So why now go and delve into that whole thing? Once one has seen through, well, it is only mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love, misunderstood. That's all there is. And so why should I be bothered about it if I can understand mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love? If I understand this, I have a new structure of consciousness. This new structure of consciousness is the resolution, the dissolving of any other concept. So here, we have another 5 minutes or so. Huh? Here we see, you see, what is said now today all over the world. See, Mrs. Eddy said in Apocalypse or so, she said, matter and spirit are only different, are only stages and stages of consciousness. See? So they are not two. They are one. Good and evil are one. Matter and spirit are one. That's a dangerous statement. See, it's a dangerous statement. They are one because, she says, spirit is all and matter is nothing. Because the understanding of spirit includes that the misunderstanding called matter is nothing. And so far they are one, because there is no duality. Now, you know that today, like Daya de Sharada and so on, they all speak about this oneness. They say spirit and matter are two distinct aspects of the same cosmic stuff.